T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I used to laugh when people said, oh, I'm a community organizer. Huh, what does that mean? Well, if you're willing to put in the time, you can mobilize people. And I wouldn't say to their credit, but the leftists have organized students apparently at 45 different high schools around Central Virginia to plan walkouts this afternoon. Now, look, if I was a principal, I would say, I don't care whether you're pro-choice, whether you're pro-life. You are here to get an education. If you walk out, you're getting a zero and you're being suspended, because I just wouldn't put up with that on either side. That would be my attitude if I was a principal. You're entitled to free speech, but it ain't during school day. You know, it isn't during your class. You're here to go to class. But I'm kind of hardcore old school on that. Jason Miaris is the Attorney General of Virginia. He joins us this morning. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, but I wonder, are you all tracking that? Do you have an opinion about these school walkouts and how you can legally handle this appropriately going forward?
Good morning to you. I mean, I'm aware of it. The absolute is in the purview of the principal of that school to suspend any of these students. And to draw things in comparison, I mean, I remember, I don't know if they still do it, but I remember in high school they did something called Meet You at the Pole, which was students could voluntarily meet at the flagpole and pray for their school. But it was always done prior to the start of the school day. You had to get there early. It was part of, obviously, the free exercise of these individual students' religion. But they were very explicit that it had to be done during outside normal school hours. So, obviously, these students, this is a free country. When they're outside of school, they can protest any government action they would like to, as long as it's done in a peaceful manner. But when you're in school, you don't have that right. You're there to instruct, because if anything, it's distracting to those students who are there to learn, and it's incredibly disruptive. And so these principals absolutely have that right to do so, and my hope is that students would wisely realize they have a lot of hours during the day when they're outside of schools to let their voices be heard. But when they're in school, they're supposed to be in school learning and not disrupting their fellow students trying to advance their academic career.
Yeah. Well, I hope that there'll be some sobriety on both sides of this issue. I'm not interested in hearing what some 16-year-old thinks, regardless of what their opinion is, if they're in the classroom. Outside of that, that's a different story. I was also, I got to tell you, Attorney General Miaris, I appreciated that both you and Governor Youngkin proactively over the weekend warned people that they should not abuse the Supreme Court justices who live in Virginia, that you were watching to make sure that their rights weren't trampled on, because that was one of the criticisms I had of Governor Northam and your predecessor, Attorney General Herring, is I didn't think they were strong enough in telling protesters, yes, you have a right to protest, but there are limits to that, and you can't infringe on other people's rights just to make some sort of graphic statement for the TV cameras. What did you see this weekend?
Well, I don't know if it was because of some very strongly worded public statements from both myself and Governor Youngkin, but there's obviously a lot of chatter picked up online for different far-left activist groups about going into a variety of different Catholic churches and interrupting their worship service.
Yes.
And listen, I deeply respect the First Amendment rights of both free speech and free assembly. That is one of the things that I call is the cornerstone of the American miracle. But one of those cornerstones is also the freedom of worship. And no one has a right to interfere with the fundamental and natural right of all Virginians to practice their faith in peace. In fact, it's federal law says that you cannot intentionally go into a house of worship and prevent somebody from worshiping God according to the dictates of their conscience. And that's sometimes you just have to be forceful and remind people very publicly that you have a right to protest. Absolutely. You don't have a right to go in and interfere with another person's right to worship. And we've had, by all accounts, a pretty peaceful Mother's Day weekend, which is exactly what we wanted. No news is good news, in my mind, when it comes to this. I do worry about, you know, that these justices are facing an enormous amount of public pressure on something that was a leaked document. This is not a Supreme Court ruling, isn't a ruling until it's issued from the bench.
Yeah.
And no ruling has been issued from the bench. So right now we have justices that are being intimidated on a leaked document. And I don't think that's the way, you know, I think we all acknowledge right now that our systems of government are pretty frayed right now. We've been through an enormously stressful time the last 2 to 3 years. And to have a fundamental breach of trust in the way the Supreme Court operates, I don't think it's healthy for our democracy. So I was obviously distressed at that. We're monitoring the situation. We get updates every day from the state police, and we continue to watch the situation very closely.
The original reason that I wanted to get a chance to talk to you, and we can get to this now, is the move by the Biden administration to set up this disinformation tracking agency or board within the Department of Homeland Security. And I've been surprised at the silence from a lot of reporters and others who I think under normal circumstance, if it wasn't so polarizing politically, Republican versus Democrat, that they would resent any kind of government oversight in a formal way of the stories they're filing and that are being shared on social media. What have you done exactly to push back on this from the Biden team?
Well, I mean, listen, it raised an enormous amount of red flags for me. It's almost like some people in the Biden administration thought the George Orwell's Ministry of Truth in 1984, his book 1984, somehow was a model and not a word
warning.
Of caution.
Yeah.
And to set up the Disinformation Governance Board or the DGB, maybe I'm an old Cold War guy, but that sounds way too similar to the KGB. But the bottom line is government shouldn't be policing speech in this manner. There's not the role of the federal government. I think it have a chilling effect because the power of the federal government is just broad and it is awesome. The idea that somehow you can intimidate people from exercising their freedom of speech in the marketplace of ideas, and in particular, they decided, not only did they create this entity, which I think is completely suspect, and you and I have talked about before how one of the big problems we have in government is good intentions don't always guarantee good results. And that's a huge problem when you set up this unelected board that has no accountability, and the person they have chosen to run it can only be classified as a far-left activist. In fact, she's gone after Virginians already. Before she took this position, she went after the parents that were speaking up at some of these Loudoun County school board meetings concerned about the curriculum their children were teaching is nothing more than disinformation peddlers. Mm. And she has viciously pushed forward some other, I think, far left theories. And so the fact that you would create this unelected board and then you put on the part of it somebody you can only classify as a far left activist, I think just raises so many red flags. So I drafted a letter, got about 20 other state attorney generals to join it with me, essentially to the Secretary of Homeland Security, saying, one, this could have a chilling effect on our First Amendment rights, and second, you don't have any statutory authority to create this kind of board. Without boring your listeners, but the APA, the statute that you would have the authority to create this, never granted you the Department of Homeland Security to create such a disinformation governing board. So
right.
We sent a letter warning them about the DGB, and we hope that it goes the way of the KGB and isn't around much longer.
Yeah, well, they seem to be doubling down, but I'm glad that somebody is at least flexing a little muscle to say better not really pursue this, or we'll be up on your case. Hey, before you go, I don't know if you've heard, you know, my proposal last week about Monument Avenue, which you don't have to deal with in your statewide role, where I'm hoping that leaders on both sides will say, let's sit tight for 20 years and not do anything with Monument Avenue. Just, you know, the well is poisoned. People are upset. There's no solution that Democrats are going to come up with, or Republicans are going to come up with, or cultural conservatives are going to come up with, that's going to make everybody happy. Let's sit tight till 2040 and let a new generation of people address what to do with Monument Avenue. But that doesn't deal with the statues that are, I guess, still sitting in the dirt over at the wastewater treatment plant. And there's growing concern that there's going to be a move to chop those up and destroy them, which I thought was against state law. I thought everybody had agreed, yeah, you can take them down, but you can't chop these things up and melt them down and denigrate them so that they don't exist, because they are historical artifacts, whether you like them or not. Have you been asked to get involved in clarifying that for people? Because I'm afraid this is about to happen, and then everybody's going to look up and go, wow, you shouldn't have done it, just like everything else. You shouldn't have done it, but you did do it, so, oh well, too late. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I've been asked on the periphery. I guess the question really is, who actually owns the physical structures? And candidly, that's a bit of a question mark. As far as what I've been briefed on so far, I admit, it was some things I looked at back in January. I've not looked at it since.
Yeah.
But does the city of Richmond own the actual physical statue? There's obviously who owns the land, who owns the base, who owns the actual physical statue. I think that's a complicated legal question. My understanding was always that these would be removed and placed either in a museum or a battlefield context. And we know we have a lot of battlefields in Virginia. The question is that the city of Richmond and LeVar Sonney decides that they actually own these structures, then what do they do with them? And so
can they give them to somebody who explicitly says we're going to melt them down or chop them up?
Right. That I think is a legal question that I'll need to revisit. It's been It's been at least a couple months since I've looked at that. I know there was some question there on who owns it. My hope would be, and I think that your assessment of this is the first I've heard about your idea of doing a pause, but listen, I think everybody needs to take a deep breath. We've gone through a lot as a country the last couple of years with COVID, with the tragic murder of George Floyd. And I think it's important for all of us to just take a pause and talk to each other again. And there seems to be a lot of right now people that prefer that their method of communication to be yelling and hurling. And I think a lot of it is social media has created such a poisonous well. The good news, and that's what I point out all the time to the media, those in a lot of the mainstream media outlets, is the American people don't live their lives the way those in print media and cable media portray it. The way that the cable news outlets portray us is everybody has a blue jersey on, or everybody has a red jersey on, and they just yell at each other. You and I both have deep friendships with people that think very, very differently than us. That's the way most Americans live their lives. We don't live our life in a constant state of rage yelling at people because we disagree with them. And that's a healthy thing. And I think our media has done such a disservice by constantly trying to portray it that we're at each other's throats. The reality is, we're an incredibly generous, decent, and noble country. Nobody gives the amount of charity hours. Nobody gives the amount of volunteer hours. Mm-hmm. Nobody acts in our spirit the way Americans do. We have learned largely to live with each other. Yeah. And I think we should get some reasonable people in a room and figure out what we want to do with Monument Avenue. And maybe it's not 20 years. Maybe we take a pause and say, let's get a little bit of self-reflection. Because, listen, we have a huge moment coming up in 2026. It's the 250th birthday of America.
Right.
And the eyes of the world are going to be on Virginia. We should really be thinking about how, as Virginians, we're going to celebrate and recognize one of the most monumental moments in all of recorded history.
Yeah.
Those words written by Thomas Jefferson that fundamentally changed man's relationship with government across the globe.
That's the key thing.
Everybody looks to.
Are we going to celebrate it, or are we going to denigrate ourselves? I hope we'll choose to celebrate it. And I really appreciate you coming on, and I'm out of time, but thank you so much for talking through those issues, and I hope we'll talk again.
Thanks, John.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.